Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
So God in restoration, that's what we're going to be dealing with this month, at least until it's changed, a month of restoration. So we want to see God in restoration. You cannot be restored by yourself. If you could be, you would not lose the place in the first place. So God is the only one that can restore us back. And we know what restoration means. Restoration means coming back to our original point. Whatever it is that you might be having a challenge with, coming back to the original point where it all started from, how it should be, coming back to that point, that's restoration. Whatever aspect of life that might be. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be looking at God can restore. God has the ability. He's in the business of restoring. He still wants to restore. He still wants to do it. You know, we're going to start from what A, B, C, and then as the month progresses, we're going to start putting two letter words together, I-S, is, A-T, at. Then later, we're going to do H-I-M, him, H-E-R, her. Then later, I'll be able to put two words together, sit down, stand up. And we're going to go on to writing 4,000 letter word essays before the end of the month. So let us start for those that would have a deeper understanding, please, for other people. Let us start here today. Let's start with what we are going to start with today. Hallelujah. Okay, so God can restore. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be looking really on Matthew chapter 8. From 23 to 27, first, 23 to 27. So just permit me to read. It says, now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obeyed him? So what was the original state of that boat? It was calm. It was peaceful. Are you still here? Please follow me so I don't lose you. Well, I can't lose you today. Today is very basic. So what was the original state of that boat? Calm, peaceful. Everything in your life was going fine until one thing happened. And then boom, everything went off. The original state of that boat was calm. But what happened? While they were in the boat, challenges happened in life. Every man will face an evil day. Or evil days. Every man will have a very big challenge. If you haven't had it, wait for it. It's coming. Everybody will. Everybody is going to have it. It's a normal thing in life to have a very strong evil day. There is such a thing called evil day. Then you have to decide how you're going to live your evil day, if you're going to make it win you or win it. It wins a lot of people. But I refuse that for you in Jesus' name. And so the natural state of that boat was being calm and driving properly. But it's a normal thing for there to be a storm. So storm arose, winds and waves. And then they came to Jesus, the one who has brought us restoration. The very one who has brought us restoration. 25 again, then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. We are about to die. How many of you were scared to go on a boat the first time you went on a boat? Don't lie. You have not gone on a boat before. You have gone on a boat now. You were not scared the first time. You can swim? You can swim, okay. You guys have gone on a boat before. Were you scared the first time? Kind of, right? All right. How many of you have been in a plane when the plane starts doing gallop as though it's driving on the road? When it starts going up and down, how do you feel? Let me give you a story. There was this man, I don't know if it's a boy or a man. We don't even know who's boy or man again. Because even me, myself, I'm a boy. It's people like daddy that are men. We are still boys. So, this guy was my seatmate in the plane. And you know, this guy, he was very vulgar and very outspoken. You know? And all pointing out the air hostess and how beautiful they are. And all that wonderful story. And all of a sudden, the plane started doing kicking, 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 kicking. And it wasn't doing it only once. It kept doing it for some minutes. And everybody in the plane started praying. You know how Nigerians are? They started praying. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Everybody started praying. Believe me, bro. Jesus, wonder. Use Holy Ghost fire. Use Holy Ghost fire. On top plane again. We don't know what Holy Ghost fire want to do in the plane. Maybe you burn down the plane. I don't understand. The one speaking in the blood of Jesus, believing the blood of Jesus. The one speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues. And I was shocked. This guy that has been very vulgar, like you even know that this guy was a Christian. This guy started speaking in tongues. I'm like, huh? So I couldn't even pray anymore. I'm like, I was looking at this guy. This bad guy. This bad guy, no God. Wow. And then the thing stopped. Thank God. We don't even know that it's the boy's prayer that God answered. But the thing stopped, sure. And after the thing stopped, after 5 minutes, this guy continued this thing. I was now wondering, okay, nice comedy. Let's get back to the Bible. I just remembered that, so I said, let me share it. Because people are looking so moody. Thank God you laughed. So, that was the same thing that was happening with the boat. The original state was to be calm. But it was not calm anymore. There was now stumble. In life, there is going to be challenges. There's going to be tough times. Tough times, tough times. But Jesus is in the business of fixing people. Jesus is in the business of restoration. He's in the business of restoration. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is still in the business of what? Of restoration. He's in that business. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled. You know, I don't want to go too far today. What I want to tell you today is that God can restore you. That's my message. I want to, you know, this month, God wants us to take it piece by piece. God is in the business of restoring. God can restore you. That same book, verse 1 to 4. I just want to give you a couple of accounts of Jesus at work. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put on his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Jesus is willing to restore you. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. You can be cleansed today, whatever it is. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Hallelujah. I don't want to go too far again. Let's keep it at God can restore you. God can restore you. Jesus is in the business of restoring. You used to enjoy life before. Life was so good for you. But all of a sudden, it's tough now. God can restore you. You have gone astray and you don't know how to come back. God can restore you. Jesus, the one we are serving, the one that saved us, he is in the business of restoring. That's why he came to die in the first place. He came to die so that you can be restored. The same chapter, continuing from 5, another account. I'm just going to dwell on Matthew 8 today. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Brother, I don't mean to say one thing. So, look at this man, the centurion. His servant, not his child, his servant was paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. How many of you can, if you are working, if you are in the market or the, if you are, have a job, how many of you can your boss go and look for healing for you? Think about it. Nowadays, there is a short clip I saw where the guy was, he came into the office and somebody died in the office and they already have a replacement. I don't know if you guys saw that short 2 minutes video. And the guy was like, huh? You couldn't let the guy finish dying. I mean, nowadays, we don't have masters like that anymore. I mean, we actually do. But there are very few. But I mean, in America and in the workforce, once you're gone, everybody comes back to work like you were never there. So be careful. Hallelujah. When you have to rest, rest. Because if you don't rest and you don't feel your purpose because of one person or another person's purpose, the way they will move on, even you, your spirit will be shocked. Hallelujah. All right, so let's keep going. Lord, my servant is lying home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I want us to look at the next verse. And I said to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the son of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Should I read that again? I want that to sink. And I want you to, if you have been following teachings for like 2 months now, I want you to revise back. You remember when we talked about what takes anybody to heaven is having faith in God, right? I want to purge your mind. Having faith in God is what takes you to heaven. Good. Let's go back. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west, from far away, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the son of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to take my time to explain that, even if it's not in the course of the study today. But because we have dealt with something like this before, you know, we just finished something like this. So I want to just broaden up our scope more, a little bit, before we go back to God can restore. He's in the business of restoration. This man wasn't a disciple of Jesus. He wasn't even with Jesus. But he has so much faith in Jesus. I'm telling you, there are people, I've said this before, long time ago, a few years ago, 2, 3, 4, that there are people in the church that are not receiving from their prophets. When I mean prophets, whoever is leading them. They are not reading, they're not receiving from their leader, their pastor, their bishop, whatever they call the person leading in their ministry. They are not receiving because they don't believe in the person. They don't believe in the God in the place. They're just going for going sake. Whereas somebody else heard one statement, maybe online, maybe somewhere else, and like, wow, who said that? That's big. And the person received. Meanwhile, the ones that are close are not receiving. They're just coming like figurehead. Whereas somebody far away is receiving. That's what the scripture is saying. Look at the man, the centurion. He wasn't following Jesus up and down. But he have seen one or two, and he added them together and believed and came and said, you don't have to come to my house. From there, I know you can say it from there. So Jesus gave an example and said, so it will be on the last day. Many people think these people that you see in church, only people you see in church, are doing like this, I'll go to heaven. You'll be shocked that the people that are doing like this in church might not go to heaven. Some of them, not all of them. You'll be shocked that they are in church, but they don't believe Jesus. So don't be shocked. When we're talking about restoration, and Daddy came and started talking about giving your life to Christ, he's seen something we are not seeing. Even me, I've seen not seen it, but he's seen something. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because there are people in church that actually don't believe in God. They don't have faith in God. They're just going to church because it's a normal thing to go to church. Because church is fun. Oh, nice scenery. Let's go. Oh, people are there. After church, we're going to eat pizza. You know, it just makes sense to go to church. Don't be like that. You have to have faith in Jesus. And you have to go to church for what it is. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? The criteria to go to heaven is to have faith in Jesus. That's it. That's the criteria. And somebody from far can have faith in Jesus. And you close to Jesus might not have faith in Jesus. And that one will go to heaven. And you will be there gnashing your teeth. Say it's not my portion in Jesus' name. Let's take that scripture again. Now that I've explained it, maybe you get it. Verse 9. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Like, wow, I remember one time. Somebody hit me up online. If you don't know what hit me up means, it means contact me, contacted me, text me, messaged me. And I mean, several of them, but this particular one I just remembered. And was telling me how that the message that we are posting is touching him. And I was happy. Like, oh, okay. That means we are doing something. I thought we are just doing like prerequisites. We have not started yet. But okay, that means we are touching somebody's life. You get what I'm saying? But still yet, there were people around that did not understand what that person that saw small clip understood from the teaching. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, in heaven. But the son of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. I told you how that prayers were made for some people and they got instant healing. And prayer were made for the same prayer were made for other people, and they did not get. And I told you the reason, the two difference. And the reason why they will happen for both people or not happen for the other ones. Hallelujah. God is in the business of restoring. God is in the business of restoring. There is nothing you have lost in this life that cannot be restored. Name it, it can be restored. You can get it back. Verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother. I put this also because I was going to explain something also. You know, many people think that people that should follow their leader should only be single people that don't have a family. But do you know, Peter was an ardent follower of Jesus. And we read about him today. He wasn't Jesus. He was an ardent follower till last minute. Yes, he kind of flaked, but he came back, right? He was another follower, but do you realize that Jesus didn't have a wife? He wasn't married. But do you see that Peter had a mother-in-law? And if somebody have mother-in-law, what does that mean? I had a wife. Yet, he will leave them at home and follow Jesus. Tell me why God will not save him from his mistake. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served them. This also brings up people who call some sicknesses small sickness. Do you know fever is not a sickness. How many people know? Fever is a reaction to anything. Fever can happen because of anything. You can have small toothache and have fever. Fever just means your temperature is higher than 90 something, sure. Mm-hmm. It's high. That's what fever means. She had fever. He touched him. Christ even did not start looking at what's causing the fever. He just touched her and the fever left her. Praise the Lord. She was restored back to her original state of health. Original state of health. And Jesus was doing all this so that I can tell you today that he's still in the business of restoration. He can still do it. He wants to do it. He actually wants to do it. The last scripture we're going to take before we pray. When evening had come, we're going to read 16 and 17 now. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirit with the word and healed all who were sick. Do you see that? All, not some, all who were sick. Christ, Jesus, don't want to do one and leave the other. Jesus don't want to heal one and leave the other. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, with one word. And healed all who were sick. Your case is not different. The reason why you are not seeing results is not because your case is different. God wants to do it. He's in the business of doing it. He's restoring everybody. He died for everybody, not for some people. He died for everybody. Everybody. And if you look at it, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. And remember, at this point, Jesus hadn't even died. He was showing them the prerequisite. He was showing them a sample that 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 or 10,000 sick people can come for a meeting and all of them go healed. He was showing them. God wants to restore you. God is in the business of restoration. He is in it. You just have to let him take the lead. We're going to stop there for today. I want to take it little by little. If you have started this series, don't miss anyone. Whether online or in person, don't miss anyone. So that what happened in 1950 will not repeat itself. Don't miss anyone. Let us pray.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.